eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with hogsports.com, HAWGsports.com. So much to talk about on today's show. Obviously, we had the NFL draft. We have transfer portal news going on with basketball and football. Connor Goodson's going to hop on with us to talk a little bit about the latest going on with Arkansas basketball and the transfer portal and recruiting. And we'll discuss a few other topics as well. All that and more on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. Plenty of ways to watch and listen. You can always watch us on YouTube where we're streaming live. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, take a moment and do that, and also set it to where you're notified anytime we upload new videos. Also available on Facebook and Apple Podcasts. If you haven't thrown us a five-star review, it certainly helps our channel if you do that. Leave a rating, leave a review, say something nice about the show if you like it. Let other people know what they can expect from the show. Also available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere else you can think of to find your favorite podcast. And Hog Sports is 30% off right now for your first year at HAWGsports.com. $9.95, I think, a month, or 30% off for your first year if you do the yearly option, which is a great time because there's still plenty of stuff going on. We've got 9 more spots to fill on the roster for basketball. I've got them at 78 scholarship players right now for football. The maximum there, obviously, is 85. Where do we want to start? You want to jump right in with Connor Goodson right off the bat? I've got a few other topics that we can get to maybe at the end of the show, just a few of my thoughts on football and things. Danny West is off today. He's moving. They've been renovating a house, and finally it's moving day, so we're going to let him have the day off. But we'll talk a little bit about some of the things going on in football right now. If you don't follow Connor Goodson, you can follow him at Connor Goodson on Twitter. That's C-O-N-N-O-R-G-O-O-D-S-O-N. You need to follow him on Twitter if you want to keep up with all the latest basketball recruiting news and portal news and everything else going on with the team, and, of course, read his content at Hog Sports. So Arkansas currently has commitments from Carter Knox, the number 20 ranked prospect in the country, Billy Richmond, number 22 ranked prospect in the country. That was the most recent one, 6'6 forward. Really like, I like all these guys, but I really like Billy Richmond a lot. I just love what he does on defense and, you know, just can kind of give it to you any way you want it on the offensive end. And Boogie Fland, of course, combo guard, and Zvonimir Visic also, the lone transfer right now in the class. Connor, what's how's it going?
It's going good, man. Been a busy weekend, and you know, it looks like another busy week for the Razorback basketball team.
So Connor, so far, well, let's just talk about this weekend. You had a couple of visitors in. Jonas Adu from Tennessee came in. He is the number 11 overall prospect in the transfer portal, played at Tennessee. Obviously he averaged 11.4 points per game, 7.3 rebounds, 6'11", 241. So you had him come in this weekend, and oops, I dropped you. I got you. Technical difficulty. Yeah, and Brandon Garrison also out of Oklahoma State. Brandon is the number 21 overall prospect in the transfer portal, number 4 center, and he averaged 7.5 points per game, 5.3 rebounds last season. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about these two guys? How did the visits go? What are we waiting on here?
So it looks like we're just waiting on decisions now. It seems Brandon Garrison had already taken visits to Oklahoma and Texas. Jonas Adu was scheduled to take a visit to UNC. I had a couple people reach out to me and say that that visit looks like it might be canceled now. He's a North Carolina native, so mm-hmm. there was a lot of smoke about him possibly, wanting to go home and play for the Tar Heels. But right now it looks like for Adu, it's between Baylor and Arkansas. Travis Branham, the 24/7 sports national analyst, he rescinded his crystal ball prediction of Adu to Baylor this morning. So looks like the smoke is getting a little thick for Adu and Garrison being mm-hmm. Hogs. I'm told that it sounds like the staff hit a home run with both of these visits this weekend. Obviously not a lot of details. Calipari's trying to keep that, under wraps on how he's treating these guys like VIPs. We've talked about it here before, but I'm told they went really well. The staff is really, really confident that both guys could end up as Hogs. And I know a lot of people were kind of concerned about both guys, the prospects of landing both guys and how that might be a little, out there and far-fetched. But I was told, the staff is going into this weekend confident that they could get both guys and that they want both guys. They're not trying to get a, one or the other type deal. And and both players on the visit were kind of sold that on the prospects of playing together, and with both really kind of knew that they would be on the roster at the same time, and that they were aware of that. And it doesn't seem like it was an issue. So I'm very confident we could have some decisions here pretty soon for both guys. And I really like Arkansas's chances with both right now.
Well, I like the idea of 7-2, 6-11, and 6-11, which these three would give you with a V-sitch. I'm hearing it's like getting picked up at the airport, like very VIP, like blacked out SUVs, like almost like FBI looking style, and like blacked out windows and stuff like that. Like, that's how I'm hearing like the trip starts for these guys. So I'm not sure what all goes on beyond that, but just from people that have kind of spotted some things, that's what I'm hearing right now on how the trips are starting. So
it's from what I've gathered, it's very like they're trying to keep it as in-house and kind of just, it's almost like Secret Service with the president. You're moving from one location to the other, and mm-hmm. nobody really knows what goes on in between and like on the actual visit. But it's very much a VIP experience, and that was part of the reason why the people that I talked to close to the staff were confident that they nailed it out of the park, because one of the guys told them that they'd never really had this kind of treatment on a visit before. So seems like, with Calipari, we knew that he was going to do things different, and it's a different kind of it's a new era, and that looks like it's playing out in front of our eyes.
So there's a few other names to keep in touch with. Obviously, there's four guys committed. There's nine spots available, so a lot to do still. But let's just go over a few other guys. How about let's start with Jordan Burks, former Kentucky guy in the transfer portal. Where do things stand with him? 6'9", 180 pounds, originally from Phoenix, Arizona, number 261 transfer portal player.
Yeah, we talked about a little last week. He's definitely a project type player, and he would be brought in to kind of, develop over this next year or two. But he showed a lot of bright flashes at Kentucky last year in the limited playing time he got. I'm told that it's pretty much a wrap that he's going to be a Hog. Just kind of, we've been waiting for weeks now on an announcement. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Calipari is just trying to get these announcements, kind of how Musselman did it, where there's a method to how you announce and when certain guys go public with their decisions. But I've been told that he's basically on board, just no official announcement yet. But really talented guy. He just, still raw developing his game, but a lot to like with his game in the flashes that he showed last year at Kentucky.
Possibly the biggest fish that they're after in the transfer portal, at least according to 24/7 Sports, would be John L. Davis, number 2 overall prospect in the transfer portal, number 1 shooting guard. This guy averaged for Florida Atlantic last year, averaged 18 points per game, 18.2 points per game, 6.3 rebounds, 41.4% from three-point range. Got to like all those numbers. Where do things stand with him right now? I know he's like also considering the NBA, so –
Yeah, that's definitely where it stands right now, is that he's deciding between the NBA or coming back to college. And I believe that if he comes back to college, he'll play in Fayetteville next year. Just from what I've been told, they haven't gotten him on campus for a visit yet. Once he gets more feedback, I'm told that that process should move pretty quickly, getting him on campus. And I don't know yet if there, I mean, there potentially could be a decision before an official visit. I know that's not usually how things happen, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that could happen. I was told that he did get some significant feedback this weekend, mm-hmm. which may help, you know, hurry that decision process up. But right now we're just kind of waiting. It was down between Arkansas and Kentucky, it sounded like, and now it looks like it's pretty much all signs are pointing to Arkansas. Anyone you talk to, they feel confident that Davis could be a Hog. And man, you talk about a really big get for Arkansas. That's the big fish, and that's the kind of guy that you hired Calipari to go out and get, is one of the top players in the portal, and he is the top available player right now, and would easily become a fan favorite. I mean, 6 rebounds a game for a guard like that, you just salivating over the possibility of him being a Hog is definitely what a lot of fans will be doing.
Now, DJ Wagner, who was the number 6 ranked overall prospect in the country in the class of 2023, he's visited USC. He could visit Arkansas. He's a number 31 transfer portal player in this class, number 6 point guard right now, averaged 9.9 points, 3.3 assists, 1.9 rebounds last year for Kentucky. Is he going to visit Arkansas? Where do things stand right now?
I've been told that there's still a plan for him to visit Arkansas, but it's been so quiet with his recruitment and process. You know, a lot of people thought that this was going to be a pretty straightforward thing with his connections to Cal and mm-hmm. How much Cal really liked him last year and, you know, played him through his struggles throughout the SEC season. It's just been really quiet. I'm told that USC really made an impression on him. He had a great visit, which, you know, you and me both know there's no such thing as really a bad visit mm-hmm. when it comes to information right after. But I think that there's definitely a possibility that it could be trending in the direction where Wagner doesn't come to Arkansas. And it looks like there's some more question marks, but it's been so quiet on that front. And he's kept things under wraps really well. So there's not a lot of information and stuff really getting through the cracks, like with some of these other guys, to really pinpoint where he's thinking and what he's thinking, what he could do. The USC visit kind of came out of the blue for a lot of people. So yeah. I'm not very confident right now as I was last week. I still think you get him on campus, there's a good chance that, you know, he definitely could just, you know, go ahead and commit to Arkansas just from that comfort level and the familiarity with Calipari. But I'm not as confident as I was before. So definitely something to watch and monitor as we go forward and see if he does go ahead and schedule a visit in the near future. And if not, that definitely doesn't bode well for Arkansas.
Another guy to keep an eye on is Trezarian White. He's the number 57 transfer portal player, number 10 small forward. He averaged 19.8 points, 6.8 rebounds, and 1.6 assists last year for UNC Wilmington. 6'7", 190 pound. He was a junior last year. And he's got, let's see, Texas Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma, some others in the mix also. Mm-hmm. You told me he might visit soon. What are the things stand right now with him?
Yeah, he's definitely very interested, from what I've been told, very interested in Arkansas. There's mutual interest there from the staff and White. So they're looking to set up a visit date with him. I don't know exactly what the timetable for something like that would be. And, you know, there's definitely other dominoes that could fall that could affect that. And he's a Texas native. I've heard that he really loves the prospect of maybe going back home and playing near his family and friends in Texas. He's from Mansfield, Texas. And so Texas Tech is really appealing to him, from what mm-hmm. I've heard. So it looks like it could be, you know, Arkansas has already had many recruiting battles, even on the football side of things, with Baylor already this offseason. And it looks like that they could have another battle with Texas Tech and Baylor for Trezarian White. And, you know, I was told that Calipari really, really liked what he saw from him when he came into Rupp Arena and scored 27 points and grabbed 10 rebounds when they upset Kentucky last year. And that mm-hmm. kind of stuck out. It was similar to what, you know, you hear Musselman, he would fall in love with guys when he would be scouting them in preparation of playing. Mm-hmm. So there was always that prospect of when portal season came around, guys that played against Arkansas were likely going to take a look and be serious about it. So Jazarian White, definitely interested in Arkansas, and Cal Perry definitely interested in bringing him in. There's right now, Carter Knox is the only real wing guy you have on the roster. So there's definitely a spot for a guy like White on the roster.
Mm-hmm. All right, Connor, anything else to add?
There's two other names that I wanted to touch on. Mm-hmm. Just real quick, Kaderi Richmond and Wuga Poplar Poplar's from Miami and Kaderi Richmond from Seton Hall. Both of those guys, 6'5" guards. If things do not pan out with Wagner, those are two guys that you could definitely look at as being guys that Arkansas really maybe heavily pursues. Both of those guys averaged double-digit points last year. Richmond averaged 15.7, Poplar 13.1. Definitely some things to keep an eye on there. Right now, they've just only contacted both of those guys, but if things do indeed fall through with Wagner, there's definitely those guys would be on my top look, take a look at and monitor, because there could be something there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if they hit on everybody that we just talked about, in addition to, you know, those guys, you're at 12, even with the two guys that you just mentioned. So there's a lot of work still to be done. Is there any activity still with the high school ranks? Is there any possibilities there, or are we just kind of waiting to see more portal names pop up?
I believe from what I'm hearing is that unless one of these big name guys backs out of their commitment. We saw Liam McNeely mm-hmm. go ahead and commit to UConn over the weekend. There's still some guys that I think, you know, if they were to come available in the high school ranks, definitely keep an eye on. But it sounds to me that they're just really focused on portaling right now and getting portal guys. And looks like that's probably how they're going to round up the roster. I know Jaden Quaintance was a guy that we talked about earlier last week that, you know, Arkansas was kind of in the mix with him, with Louisville, Memphis, and he ends up at Arizona State. He committed to them earlier, so he's off the table. Samto Cyril, the big man who was also committed to Kentucky, it looks like he might be headed to Athens to play for the Bulldogs. But, you know, Arkansas has definitely been in the mix with him. Not sure if, you know, there's really not that much smoke there with him, but, you know, that's a high school guy that's still technically available. So it'll be interesting to see if they do have any, you know, high school prospects just up their sleeve that haven't committed yet. But I expect the rest of this roster will probably be filled through the portal.
All right, Connor, good having you on, man. Appreciate all the intel.
Really appreciate you having me on, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of news in this week. I'm expecting a busy next couple of weeks as we get these final prospects, you know, put on the roster. So definitely go follow us over at Hog Sports and stay up to date on all that.
All right. Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you.
All right, everybody. That's Connor Goodson. Again, if you haven't followed him, I think you see why you should. Connor Goodson, at Connor Goodson on Twitter, CONNORGOODSON. Hog Sports Hoops analyst, does a great job keeping us abreast of everything that's going on with Razorback basketball. Where to go now? What do we want to talk about? Well, we got to give some props out to some guys. Congrats to Cam Little being selected by Jacksonville. He was, what, number 212 overall in the sixth round, 274th Razorback to be drafted since 1936. The fifth place kicker to be drafted from Arkansas. So congratulations to Cam Little.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think he might have been able to make more money if he'd have stuck around, but I understand. Living out your dream, going to the NFL. Cam Little's probably one of my favorite all-time Razorbacks. Probably my favorite kicker. Kickers always use a little weird. Sorry. You know you are. Bo Limmer, congrats to him. The 41st pick in the sixth round of the 2024 NFL draft to the Los Angeles Rams, number 217 overall. So he went just five picks after Cam Little. Short run on Razorback players. The only two guys that were drafted. Congratulations to Bo Limmer. Only two Razorbacks to get drafted this year. So let's see. As far as things go right now, and plenty of others, you know, that have signed free agent deals. As far as things go right now, the latest transfer portal news with Arkansas is Anthony Switzer committing out of Utah State, defensive back. He's from Arkansas originally, played at Arkansas State before Utah State. We're expecting him to work in at that nickel position, which Arkansas calls the hog, which they call the star at Utah State. He had like 83 tackles last year, a very active player. He'll compete with Danico Slaughter. And again, watch out for Tevis Metcalf, the freshman there. Watch out for Tevis Metcalf. Obviously, it was an interesting situation with Snacks Johnson hitting the portal, but I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. Bringing hot Cheetos in to a team meeting room as a freshman one time isn't a good enough reason to base a whole persona and nickname around. We all like hot Cheetos. I like Snacks too. You like hot Cheetos. You like to bring in a snack every once in a while. That doesn't mean we're going to start calling you Snacks. I don't know. Good luck to Snacks at Baylor. I didn't really care for his. I didn't know what I was thinking, family, when he left, but whatever. So Arkansas football scholarship distribution, 78 total scholarship players. I mean, they got work to do. They got seven spots open, and I don't know. It didn't feel like there's just been a whole lot of movement here, but we'll talk to Danny West when we get him back. Again, he's moving today, so we're going to let him focus on that. I know moving is hard. I mean, you're in a constant fight with everybody. It's just not a fun time. So let's talk about Arkansas's football schedule. There's just been a lot of talk about this lately, and you know, we're like 8 weeks. How long are we away? 8 weeks from starting fall camp. Not very long. So I just wanted to kind of talk about some of these things because I'm looking at Arkansas's schedule, and people have been asking me, like, what do you think Arkansas's win total is going to be this year? And so I've looked at it, and I've looked at, you know, some of the peers. Like, here's what's weird. So next year, this coming season, Arkansas is going to play Ole Miss, Missouri, and Texas, okay? They're going to play Ole Miss, Missouri, and Texas again in 2025. In 2026, Ole Miss, Missouri, and Texas are expected to be their permanent opponents. All three of these programs are at the peak of their recent existence right now. Just so happens to be, right? Ole Miss is going to be preseason top 10 coming off of, what did they win, 10 or 11 last year? 11. Missouri won 11 games last year. They're going to be preseason top 10, and Texas probably be preseason top 3 after going to the college football playoff. All these teams have a legitimate chance to make it to the college football playoff. And then you have Arkansas, who is the opposite of all this. And when I look at the schedules, so here's Arkansas' schedule. This is how it starts off. And I just think it's so important to really try to build some momentum with a program, especially when you're coming off of 4-8, and to set yourself up for success. It's just important, like, to build not only the belief within the team and your players, because once you have that belief and that buy-in and that positive atmosphere, it carries over to what is traditionally a harder second half of the season for most teams. And it carries over into that. And it also for fans, you're not going to have fans yapping at players on social media when you're 4-0, 5-0. You're just not. You're definitely not going to see fans putting their wallets back in their pocket from an NIL standpoint when the team's 5-0. They're going to be like, okay, this is where things are headed. Sign me up. I want on that annual plan. You know, so it's important, especially this time, to start off strong. You know, the saying goes they remember in November, but nobody cares about November when you're 2-6 or 3-5 or whatever. You know, whatever. Like, nobody cares about how strong you finish when you know the season's already in the toilet. So just looking at this, I hate that Arkansas. It's not so much that I hate that Arkansas is starting not on the road, but the home away from home at UAPB. It's not just that in and of itself. It's what you have after that. You know, like, if what you have after that was different, then sure, start at War Memorial. But they open at War Memorial Stadium, and then they go on the road week two to Oklahoma State. They're the only team in the SEC that won't have two, you know, at least one game at home in their own backyard. Week three, they play UAB in Fayetteville. That's their first home game. So depending on how that Oklahoma State game goes, it's definitely going to impact the attendance and, you know, all those kinds of things for that game. So week four, you're at Auburn. So Auburn's always been tough for you to play at. Oklahoma State, just consider this with Oklahoma State, first of all. Arkansas has got a new offensive coordinator, new offensive system, new quarterback. Oklahoma State is going to be in their 20th year of Mike Gundy's system, and their quarterback just got granted his 7th year of eligibility. You know, this is an Oklahoma State team that finished 16th nationally last year, won 10 games, and do that pretty regularly. So UAB after that, then you're on the road to Auburn, and then you're off to Arlington, where you've lost 8 of the last 9. I just don't like the way that sets up. I mean, it's not a good way to start the season. You have to wait till October 5th before you get your first notable home game. And if you limp into that game, if you start poorly, you know, playing Oklahoma State, Auburn, Texas A&M, then you're looking at 11 o'clock in front of a crowd that's going to be heavily impacted by your record. And you're not going to get out-of-state recruits to get up at the crack of dawn after playing a Friday night game to make it for an 11 a.m. kickoff in Fayetteville. However, if you can overcome some of this stuff, if you can, you know, maybe win two of those three, maybe you build a little bit of momentum. There's opportunity. Hoosiers was based on a true story. That happened, kind of. You know, 2006, Arkansas was picked to finish, I think, 5th in the division, and they won the division. I don't know if they've had anything like that since then, but it happens. Missouri last year was picked, I think, 5th in their division, 6th in their division. Because we got 14 last year. So Missouri was picked to finish 6th. Out of 7 teams in the Eastern Division last year and finished, what, 2nd? Went 11-2? So things can happen. Missouri also had a pretty good schedule. And you know I'm going to talk about some of those things, but I want to talk about Ole Miss' schedule first. So Rebels open with Furman and Oxford, 1-0. Then they host Middle Tennessee State, 2-0. Their big non-conference Power 4 matchup, they got to go on the road to Winston-Salem to face Wake Forest, 3-0. Then back home to Oxford to face Georgia Southern, 4-0. And then Kentucky comes to town in week 5. They host Kentucky. So probably going to be 5-0. Probably will be 5-0. They're going to be preseason top 10, and they're going to be 5-0. Their first real threat is that Kentucky game. That Kentucky could get them. I mean, Kentucky's not a bad program. But their first real tough game probably is on the road at South Carolina. A game that they will be favored to win. Probably going to be 6-0, 5-1 probably at the worst. Protecting that top 10 ranking, building a ton of momentum, exciting the fans. I mean, that's how you set up a schedule. So All that will set up for a Week 7 game, Saturday night in Death Valley, against what I would say most Ole Miss fans consider their biggest rival in LSU. Most Ole Miss fans, I think, consider LSU to be their biggest rival and Mississippi State to be more of an annoyance, based on people that I talk to. So, yeah, they've got some tough, you know, they've got Oklahoma in Oxford. They've got Georgia. I think they maybe get a bye before that. They wrap up things with Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. But, yes, they have some tough games. You're going to have tough games in the SEC. But it's all in the second half of the schedule after there's great opportunity to build all this momentum and this belief with your team. I mean, you just won 11 games and you're going to start the season off 5-1, 6-0. You know, there's going to be buy-in there. Hey, our coaches know what they're doing. There's not going to be locker room issues. Look at Missouri. So Missouri opens the season with four straight home games. Their big Power Four opponent is Boston College, which they host in Columbia. That's week three. Their first SEC opponent is Vanderbilt in week four. They're almost going to certainly start 4-0. Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vandy. And I think they get a bye. Yeah, they get built-in protection in week five with a bye week. So they're going to be preseason top 10. And they're going to start off 5-0, 4-0 with a bye week. And then they head to College Station to take on Texas A&M, which they probably will be favored to beat Texas A&M. Texas A&M, year one of a new coach. And then they go on the road. They face UMass. They go on the road to face UMass. They'll be favored in that one, heavily favored. And then they come back home and face Auburn October 19th. 5-1 at worst at that point. 5-1 at worst. So, I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, and these are the teams that are going to be on Arkansas' schedule every single year. Texas is in store for an eye-opener, but their first 5 weeks are very doable. They open against Colorado State. I know, quit complaining about everybody else's schedule. Quit complaining about your own schedule. Worry about yourself, all that stuff. This is what I'm going to do anyway. I'm going to do what I want to do. Colorado State at home, and then they have a matchup at Michigan, week two, on the road. That's their lone road trip over the first 6 weeks, though. And you catch Michigan right after Jim Harbaugh leaves, right after J.J. McCarthy is gone, who just got drafted in the first round, their quarterback. Pretty good time to catch Michigan, considering they went 40-3 the past three seasons. So pretty good time to catch them if you're going to catch them. So even if they lose to Michigan, they're going to be 4-1 after they host Mississippi State ahead of the Red River Shootout. Red River Rivalry. It's not the shootout anymore. Got to be PC on everything. Can't offend anybody. So, you know, this isn't about like overcoming the odds and rising up to a challenge. It's just about setting a schedule up that gives you a great chance for success. And it's not all on Arkansas. Part of it's on the SEC. But it just seems like Missouri seems to get this thing figured out every year. I mean, last year's Missouri schedule, I'm not saying Arkansas would have gone 11-2 with that schedule, but they certainly probably would have been better than 4-8. You know, it's just they're two dramatically different looking schedules. And there's just certain things that Arkansas can do, in my opinion, to alleviate some of that with the way they schedule teams. So part of it's on Arkansas and a tough draw. Anyway, just some of my opinions. Arkansas baseball getting the weekend series win over Florida 2-1 on Friday, and then they won the first doubleheader 6-5, and then Florida snapped their 27-game home winning streak with a 9-5 win in Game 2 on Saturday. Up next, Missouri State on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. That will be on the SEC Network Plus, and then they play Missouri State again Wednesday, May 1st. Also on SEC Network Plus. This one is at 4 o'clock. So 6:30 on Tuesday, 4 o'clock on Wednesday before traveling to Lexington to face number 8 Kentucky on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Those games will all be on SEC Network Plus, 5:30, 1, and 12 o'clock. So it's a big series in Lexington. Arkansas is still, I believe, number 2 behind Texas A&M on D1 baseball. Jackson McAfee has your midweek preview, so go to hogsports.com. You can read Jackson's article previewing the matchup, pitching matchups, and all that stuff with Missouri State.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
So I was looking over this too, because Arkansas, the state of Arkansas, didn't have anybody drafted in this last NFL draft. Last year, they only had one player drafted, BJ Thompson. You guys familiar with him? He's out of England, Arkansas, 2,441 residents in England, Arkansas. Arkansas did not offer him. He was a four-star prospect on 24/7 Sports, but Brett Bielema didn't think he was good enough, I guess. Anyway, he was drafted in the 2023 NFL draft, the only Arkansan to be drafted in the last two drafts. That's just not good enough. This is a state of 3 million people. There should be three players drafted every year. You know, that's not a whole lot to ask, I don't think, for this state to produce that. This state produces a ton of basketball talent, and that's, I don't say that's part of the problem, but you got guys that would be, you know, major conference football players who may be basketball players on a lower level, you know, that are dedicated to basketball. And so state's just not producing at a high clip. Just some comparisons for you here, just to kind of prove my point. So 2022 was actually a bit of an outlier for the state of Arkansas. You had Monteric Brown out of Ashdown, Traylon Burks out of Warren, Gregory Jr., he's from CrossFit, went to Wichita Baptist, and Pierre Strong from Little Rock went to San Diego State. Those are the other players drafted that year. So two players that wore a Razorback uniform, and you let Gregory Jr. go to Wichita Baptist and Pierre Strong go to San Diego State. You can't miss on guys like that, guys that are future NFL players. You just can't just whiff on them. In 2021, you had Trey Norwood out of Fort Smith. He went to Oklahoma. And in 2020, it was only McTelvin Agim, who's from Hope, actually originally from Texas, but went to high school, I think moved to Hope in 10th grade, and K.J. Hill out of North Little Rock, who went to Ohio State. So you're letting too many guys that are NFL talents get out of the state, and some of them you're just missing on. Some of them, like, they just didn't evaluate properly. This is all previous staffs. So Connecticut has 3.6 million people. They had one player drafted in 2024. Nevada is 3.18. Arkansas is 3.1, maybe not quite that. Second smallest state in the SEC next to Mississippi. So, but Nevada is a similar size. They had five players taken in 2024 and seven in 2023. Iowa has 3.2 million. They had two players in 24 and three players last year. Utah is 3.3 million, had two players in 24 and six players in 2023. Those are all similar size states. Should they be outproducing Arkansas? Hawaii has 1.44 million people and had three players drafted this year and two players last year. West Virginia, less than 2 million people, one player drafted in 24, three players in 23. South Dakota has fewer than a million people and had two players drafted in 24 and one taken in 23. All outproducing Arkansas. That's just crazy. Six states border Arkansas, 30 million people in Texas. They get about, you know, they get probably about the right number of draft picks every year per capita. About, you know, they had 30 players. Let's see, they had 24 players in 2024 and 30 players in 2023. So they're just right under a million, you know, one draftee for every million residents each year, basically. Louisiana really overproduces, and we've always talked about them. 4.59 million people. Arkansas' southern neighbor had 11 players drafted in 2024 and nine in 2023. That's way overproducing. Oklahoma, 2 in 2024, 4 in 2023. Missouri had 4 in 2024, 3 in 2023. Missouri's underproducing there at like 6 million, 6.1 million. Tennessee also underproduces, 4 in 2024 and 2 in 2023 for 7 million people. Mississippi's another. Mississippi and Louisiana really overproduce. Mississippi is fewer than 3 million people. They had 5 in 2024 and 7 in 2023. So Louisiana and Mississippi are producing at a high clip, and Tennessee, Missouri, and Arkansas are lagging. Arkansas really seems to be lagging, like just really bringing up the rear and producing football talent, NFL caliber talent. You know, it's in, I mean, like, as far as like Power Five programs, like, it varies so much in Arkansas. You'll have six guys signed with Power Five, Power Four now type programs. And then like in 2024, you had 12. In 2022, you had 15. So it varies so much. It's such a small state, it just looks like it, you know, fluctuates so much versus, you know, Texas might have, you know, 400 Division One signees 1 year and, you know, 380 the next. So it's not, you know, it's, you know, a decent difference, but it doesn't look as big as like what Arkansas has. I mean, you're talking 2.5 times what they have here just in the last 5 years versus, you know, some years. So just wish they'd produce a little bit better. You look at this roster right now, this is crazy. And this, and part of this is the transfer portal. So you've got scholarship players. This is scholarship players on Arkansas's roster. There are 5 freshmen from Arkansas, 5 in the sophomore class, 2 in the junior class, and not a single one in the senior class. There's not a single in-state player in the senior class. Not a senior, not a redshirt senior, not a super senior, not a redshirt super senior. Out of the 4 divisions of seniors, there's not a single one from the state of Arkansas. That's not true. Hudson Clark. Hudson Clark is the only one. How did I miss Hudson Clark? Hudson Clark was a former walk-on, had him in a different category. So Hudson Clark and Josh Street are both former walk-ons. Josh Street's a junior. So Hudson Clark is the lone senior, former walk-on. Josh Street, hell, that's not true. Hudson Clark's not from Arkansas. Where's Hudson Clark from? He's from Texas. Yeah, he's from Highland Park, Texas. Never mind. Yep, never mind. Josh Street is from Arkansas, but he's a junior. Okay. Sorry about that. Got confused. He just seems like he's from Arkansas. So Hudson Clark is not from Arkansas. So that's, yeah, no seniors. No seniors on this roster from the state of Arkansas. That's wild. Anyway, so out of the players that still would have eligibility over the 5 recruiting classes, you had 12 who were signed from the state of Arkansas who either transferred or kicked off the team, gave up football, or took a medical hardship. So you have 12 players who are on the roster, and you have 12 more who would have been on the roster if not for, you know, those instances. So it's just it's weird. And a good part of it's the transfer portal, you know, just bringing in players from other states and stuff. And why wouldn't you? Because Arkansas doesn't seem to be producing talent inside the state. I mean, there's some good guys, obviously. There's a Traylon Burks every now and then. You know, you let Courtney Crutchfield go from inside the state last year. But you got Charlie Collins. You got some other good players from inside the state. You know, Walker White's another one that got out of the state. So you lost some good players from inside the state. You can't lose good players like that. All right. Should we see if we have any questions? What time is it? I've got an appointment I got to get to in a little bit. 140. Okay. I guess we got to wrap it up here. Yeah, we went about 42 minutes. Okay, so that's good. I think we covered a lot of stuff. I think everybody learned a lot of things. Appreciate Connor Goodson for hopping on with us. Guy's got a wealth of basketball knowledge, a lot of inside sources that he's developed in a very short amount of time that since he's been with us, I guess February 1st when he started with us. So happy to have Connor Goodson as part of the team. And, yeah, go check out all of his content and go to Hog Sports right now, 30% off, hawgsports.com. All right, everybody. Tough schedule. What did we learn today? We learned there's still a lot of activity going on in the transfer portal. We didn't cover football recruiting like we want to. We'll get to Danny West here next week after he's finished moving. But a lot of stuff going on with the transfer portal in basketball. not enough talent in the state of Arkansas being produced per capita. It's not a big state, so we don't ask a lot. It's just per capita, there's not a lot. And sometimes you're letting guys that are really good players get out of the state. Got to do a better job evaluating there. Only 12 players from the state of Arkansas on the entire 78-man scholarship roster. That's 15.1% of the roster from Arkansas. It just seems odd. And what else you got? I think that's pretty much it. I think we covered it all. Baseball team's good. Football team has a tough schedule. Things you probably knew anyway. All right, everybody. I want to thank you for joining us. This has been Trey Biddy with Hogsports.com, and we'll catch you next time.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes now streaming. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with the Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. The subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.